When I'm looking at the next 12 months of my life, what I do not have on the books and what is impossible for me to have on the books is a trip to Sicily. However, the next best thing to having my own adventure in Sicily was reading Joe Piazza's new novel, The Sicilian Inheritance. It is a vacation in a book. If your vacations were sexy murder mysteries that also dive deep into generational trauma, but not in too heavy of a way, it is the perfect book to take on a plane. It is the perfect book to read next to your public pool while taking breaks to yell at your kids. It is the perfect book to get you out of a reading slump, and it is available now wherever you get books.
Big thanks to my friend Nora McInerney for recording that Sicilian Inheritance promo for me, because I'm sure you're sick of hearing me talk about it. And also, I can listen to Nora's voice forever, forever and ever. And in fact, I also buy everything that she tells me to buy. So thank you, Nora. And also, if you haven't ordered The Sicilian Inheritance, now is the time. We are so close to launch. This book can be in your hands so soon, and you can start posting it with pictures of delicious food and wine ASAP, which is what you're going to want to do because this book will make you hungry. The Sicilian Inheritance, the book of the summer, and the best book to get you out of your reading slump. Now, on to more important things. Very important topic today in this emergency episode. What the hell is going on with Kate Middleton? I mean, I just can't keep up with all of the conspiracy theories and the Photoshop, and now the Swifties are involved? So many of you have asked me to cover this because the Kate Middleton conspiracy theories have so much to do with how we treat women in the media, with how we treat celebrities, with how we treat media brands. And make no mistake, the British royal family is a brand. It is. So here today to dissect all of the Princess Catherine conspiracy theories is my friend Caro Claire Burke. She is a journalist. She is a media commentator. She is the only person I follow on TikTok. Sorry, book talkers. Sorry. I try. And she is going to unpack all of it. All of it. I just got back from Sicily on Sunday night. I'm jet lagged as fuck right now. And everyone is messaging me being like, you have to do an emergency episode on Kate Middleton.
Yeah.
To which I said, well, I've got to talk to Caro about this. Because
I got your email and I literally just like pulled together, like I've had this pin board of all these things and I was like, all right, what is the need to know? And I just pulled it all together into this insane
bunch of stuff. Yeah.
We are Carrie on Homeland with this Kate Middleton conspiracy. I feel like there's so much to unpack here. I have so many thoughts. In fact, B, my 4-year-old, woke me up in the middle of the night demanding chocolate milk. Like a fucking gremlin, being like, if you don't give me chocolate milk right now, I'm going to turn into the bad gremlin. And once I finally got her to sleep, I was like, what should we talk about Kate Middleton tomorrow morning? So
funny.
I think that we should start.
Yeah.
I want to say right off the bat that I genuinely believe that this is an instance of how much the world, the media, and the internet hates women.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. And I have a lot to say about this as a former celebrity magazine editor who was constantly asked to Photoshop celebrities in these magazines. Like, I had one celebrity publicist ask me to put the ass of one celebrity on the ass of a different celebrity.
We're celebrities.
I will when we get off. I will. But yes, so like Photoshop has been happening since the beginning of celebrity magazines. Airbrushing has been happening since the beginning of celebrity magazines. And also, who among us, which normal human beings, have not edited a photo before we have posted it on social media?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's get started. Let's first, for listeners who haven't heard anything about what is going on with Kate Middleton and this Mother's Day photo, let's back up and give everyone the bird's eye view of the situation.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. And I should just preface this by saying, I do not consider myself a royal family expert. I am not someone who's been on the royal family beat. I am a woman who's interested and very good at researching. So what I am compiling, like I can give it to you and you can put in the show notes, but we're basically just going to go through the information that is publicly available for anyone to access. And so basically like everything that I'm saying is stuff that is just available. It's like, you know, stuff that the royal family has said, stuff that people are arguing. So this really isn't hard. If you have like an hour to kill and a pretty manic headspace, anyone can do this. So.
Well, and you know what I want to say about that is you just said I'm not a royal expert, but I feel like everyone believes themselves to be a royal expert right now. And for a while, when I was covering celebrities, I was a royal expert. I am no longer. I am. Mm-hmm. But we are living in a world of armchair royal experts these days.
Yes, that is such a huge point. That's such a huge point. Okay, so I'm just going to give what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you the timeline without the obsession. So just like the facts of the situation, and then we can get into how this fell apart and became such a huge issue. So Kate Middleton was last seen on Christmas. Okay. She was last seen on Christmas Day. She was seen leaving church services, totally normal public, you know, viewing for the royal family.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then mid-January, Kensington Palace releases a statement saying that Kate underwent a, quote, planned abdominal surgery. She's going to be hospitalized for 2 weeks. You know, it's unlikely that you're going to see her until after Easter. So we're still technically within that time frame, right? So then January 18th, Prince William is seen visiting Kate at the hospital. End of January, Kensington Palace releases another statement saying that she's returning home to Windsor Castle. Everything's going well. She's making good progress. Then we get to the end of February, which is another statement from Kensington Palace, which says, you know, we've made it clear the timeline of the recovery. We're only going to be providing significant updates. You know, that's the case. So then we get to March. And at this point, there is like, I will acknowledge there is a certain level of people who are already kind of wondering where she is. And so these people that I would argue are like a little bit into the conspiracy theory land, right? Because we're still technically within the time frame that the time frame that the royal family gave. And one of the arguments that these people give for why they're already starting to be a little bit suspicious of this is two things. Number one, it's that Kate was scheduled to attend something in June, and very quietly, she was taken off of the scheduled appearance list. So people are saying, like, why is she being taken off the scheduled appearance list for something in June if she's going to be fine, if it was a routine surgery? You know, that's many, many months of recovery. That's highly unusual. Number two, and this is the really interesting thing, people notice that there was a royal family consort going to the hospital in the end of December. So that's well before she was scheduled to undergo surgery, and they went to the emergency room. And so now people are saying, like, the timeline between these hospitals is incorrect, these hospital dates. And then, of course, we get to the photo. Do you want to talk about what your experience was with the photo? The first photo, I should say, because there are multiple.
The first photo. Are we talking about the Mother's Day photo?
Talking about the Mother's Day photo.
We're talking about the Mother's Day photo. And we should mention that Mother's Day is different in the UK, much like Canadians have different Thanksgiving, I think, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Mother's Day is now. So I am so confused by this Mother's Day photo. I was in Italy when it was released, you know, on my reporting trip, trying to solve this murder for the Sicilian inheritance. Still trucking along, trying to solve a family murder. But I saw it, and my first reaction, I was like, that's nice. They look nice. And especially, I will say, as a mother of three kids, I'm like, oh, I want to do a Mother's Day picture of just me, mm-hmm. without my husband, because it is all about me, with my three babies, and they look so big, they look so mm-hmm. old. So my first reaction was really like, this is nice, and I didn't know a ton about all of the conspiracy theories because I've been so checked out of the world lately. But I knew they existed. I knew she was having this planned surgery and that everyone had all of these ideas about it. And also, I have a lot of friends with tummy problems, with like mm-hmm. IBS and all sorts of belly issues. We know that Kate had that horrible morning sickness when she was pregnant with, I think, each of her pregnancies. So for me, I'm like, yeah, of course. I mean, I think, you know, people that I know get tummy surgeries all the time to fix things. And it's really none of our business because no one likes talking about poop. I do.
And what I would also add is that I know that there have been occasions in the past where we have gone months at a time without seeing a royal family member. We have gone months at a time without seeing Kate. And so I would also add that, like, what we're about to talk next, I think is so bizarre for the fact that the royal family could have said nothing. You know what I mean? Like, what's happened to me is such a breakdown of strategic communications on behalf of the royal family, because what has happened in the last 4 days, which has felt like a lifetime, is just a series of blunders, one after another, where they never seem to learn their lesson, and they keep digging themselves into a bigger and bigger hole.
A bigger and bigger hole. Yes. So that was my initial reaction. I'm like, that's nice. And then I saw all of these stories come in and everyone started sending them to me saying the photo was altered. The photo was altered. And when I first heard that, I thought, oh my gosh, maybe the entire thing was created by AI, or like that something really gonzo bananas had been done to this photo. But that's not the case, right?
Well, I don't honestly know. So the three theories that have been the most popular, I'll give the first one that's been debunked, and then I'll give the two others, which I think have some credibility. The first one is that someone basically copied, someone meaning someone in the PR, you know, wing.
The PR department of the royal family, which is terrible.
Yeah, exactly. Some poor intern who has since been fired basically took the Vogue cover shoot of Kate's face and pasted it onto this. And people were noting that it was like pretty close to identical. And this was really interesting, and I enjoyed this rabbit hole of watching people combine those two photos. But a few pretty serious investigative journalists have since debunked that and just said, like, we really don't think that's the case, that they just copied that photo. So that, I think, has less credibility. Two arguments that do have credibility is, number one, that whatever base of this photo exists, it came from November. So basically, people broke down that there was a day where Kate and her daughter and her children were all wearing the clothes, pretty much, except for that weird skirt that Charlotte is wearing. Mm-hmm. They were wearing the same clothes during a public outing. And so when you look at the Photoshopped elements, which have since been proven to be Photoshopped, there are weird things like the children's fingers look really off. There are certain elements of the clothing that are very clearly edited, like Charlotte's little tartan skirt doesn't actually match up in like any natural way to her body. Mm-hmm. People that Kate's sweater was edited. And so the general theory, which I think, you know, has some credibility, is that they wanted to get a picture of Kate. For whatever reason, they weren't going to use a recent one. And we can get into that or not get into that. And so they used one from a while ago, and they made little edits to it in order to make it look recent. And so I think you can argue how malevolent or not malevolent this is. But I think the tipping point, at least for me, in terms of getting interest, was when the Associated Press killed the photo, which I'm sure you know is like a very extreme thing to do. That does not happen often.
No. I mean, photos rarely get killed. And everyone killed the photo. Everyone, they issued, it was actually very dire because the language is that it was killed. Like all of these outlets killed the photo. That's actually more than I knew, because it's very interesting, and I blame the degradation of all media. When you Google this story and try to find the latest on it, everyone says the photo was altered, and no one really gets into the nitty-gritty because people love the clickbait, and it is so hard to find out actual facts about anything. So this is very helpful. This is you are my news right now.
Well, and I was just about to say, I'm probably moving quickly, but I would just say for anyone who's listening and wants to look at the photo, the four things to look at are, number one, the children's fingers. That's a very common AI mistake, is screwing up human fingers.
Yeah, AI can't do hands, right?
No, and not do hands.
Yeah.
Number two is Kate's ring hand. She's not wearing a wedding ring. And whether that was manipulated or not, it was something that people noticed. It was relevant. Number three is Charlotte's skirt. If you look closely, there are very clear aspects of it that were Photoshopped. And number four, Kate's sweater. So those are the things you can, you know, go down endless rabbit holes about those. But those are the four elements of the photo that people were noticing in terms of Photoshopping. And then they went into the bigger thing of like, this looks like it was from an event this fall. And then what are the implications of them taking a photo from last fall? And then we're kind of off to the races with conspiracy theories.
Okay. Okay. All right. So we've got all of these conspiracy theories. Where are we now?
So this is when the royal family just decides to lean harder on the gas of just making the worst possible decisions they could.
Yes. This piece of it is what makes me feel so nauseous about the entire situation. Tell people what the royal family did next.
So the AP kills the photo. A series of other international news agencies pull the photo. And so in the wake of that, after that has happened, the royal family, or let me clarify, Prince William and Kate have their own Twitter account. From that Twitter account, I'm using air quotes through all of this, Kate gives a statement. And actually, I'm going to pause right here and pull up the statement.
Oh, please do. Please do.
So she says, and I quote, "Like many amateur photographers, I do occasionally experiment with editing. I wanted to express my apologies for any confusion the family photograph we shared yesterday caused. I hope everyone celebrating had a very happy Mother's Day. See." So much is happening in this statement. First and foremost, it goes without saying that Kate didn't write this. Like, it just goes without saying.
No.
It's just very obvious. And I think that that's one thing that we should clarify is that there are a lot of things here that aren't facts. There is one fact, which is the royal family has a long, long history of putting out statements on behalf of the members of the family, often against their will or consent. Like, I think we saw this 1,000 times with Harry and Meghan. It's so common. You know that someone wrote this. And a few things I want to add to this are, first and foremost, it's important that people know that Kate is actually a hobbyist photographer. She has studied with Annie Leibovitz. So, like, this is not someone who doesn't spend time with a camera. She has spent a lot of time working with photography societies. She has taken certain royal family photos. Like, this is a woman who actually very much knows her way around a camera. Secondly, the editing that someone made to this photo is not the equivalent of a Facetune. And I think that that's what's really important to clarify.
Yes.
Like a mother using an app and like maybe making her kid look a little bit happier than they are. And like, you can go into the ethics of that. That's not what this is. This is someone deliberately trying to create a sense of calm around a topic and making very, very specific photo editing jobs. And the idea that Kate was doing this like on Photoshop at 10 p.m., whether she's like on bed rest or totally fine, is to me totally laughable. And so this is where the conspiracy theories really went off the rails.
Okay, I'm here for going off the rails. Let's take a quick break here so that when we get back, we can really go off the rails. Under the Influence is brought to you by Editude. I am obsessed with my Editude sheets. They are insanely soft and cozy, and it feels like I'm just leaping into bed in a cloud or in a really fancy hotel, which is pretty much exactly how I want to fall asleep every single night. Now, they really do feel unlike anything else that I've ever slept on, and they're not going to cost you the same amount that a lot of the really, really stupidly expensive sheets are costing these days. Because right now, you can get $35 off your first order of $175 or more with the code INFLUENCE. These crazy soft, clean bamboo sheets have over 20,000 five-star reviews. That is a lot of five-star reviews, and if I could get the Sicilian Inheritance 20,000 five-star reviews, I mean, I'd do pretty much anything. In a controlled sleep study, sleep efficacy was improved by 1.5% per night, racking up a whopping extra 43 hours of sleep per year for people. Pretty great. I mean, look, I prioritize sleep over almost everything else in my life. I prioritize it over my husband sometimes. I definitely prioritize it over watching TV. Sleep is so important for me to be able to function as a woman, as a mother, as an author, just as a person in the world. And simply put, I sleep really well on these Editude sheets. And the company is so sure that you're going to love sleeping with them that you can try any Etitude bedding risk-free for 30 nights. And if you're not completely satisfied, you can return it for a full refund. Never miss a good night's rest and recovery again with Etitude. And don't forget, you can get $35 off your order of $175 or more, plus free shipping for a limited time when you visit etitude.com/under the influence. And we are back. We're about to go off the rails, which is my favorite place to go.
Yes. Okay. So, oh God, how do I? All right, stay calm, Caroline. So basically, this is where I personally became very interested because it was very obvious that something bizarre was happening. And it was very obvious that the royal family was handling it about as poorly as they possibly could have. Like, we should note right here that they never had to post a fake photo, right? Like, they never had to share this statement. It's the royal family. They don't have to respond to controversies. And in fact, they often ignore them. So we're getting this thing where it's very clear that the royal family is basically pushing out this false narrative. Whether Kate is recovering from a totally routine surgery or whether something more serious is happening, they have decided to make this a big issue with the way that they treated it. And I want to say that because I think a lot of people have brought up the public, the American public's response to this. And I saw that there was one Atlantic article that compared, quote, Kate Middleton truthers to QAnon.
And like, I saw that. That was in my inbox this morning when I woke up.
Yeah, there are a lot of misogynistic elements of that article. Like the way that they call it like wine moms, you know, QAnon moms was really offensive to me. And so I just want to clarify, I think there's a really common historical trend of trying to blame the public for the royal family's failures. Like a lot of people being like, let's not do to Kate what we did to Diana. And I'm like, well, if we want to talk about it, I think that you could argue that a lot of the failures that happened around Diana's career had to do with the royal family. The royal family is making a series of PR decisions that are so suspicious that people are interested. And so I think that you have to include that dynamic when you're talking about the public's response to this.
Yes.
So basically what happens is that things blow up from here and we start to basically hyper investigate all the other photos available to us. So I want to talk about two photos in particular. One was a photo that was actually released on March 4th, and it was a blurry photo that appeared to show Kate in a car with her mother. So much speculation over this. I mean, you can go do a deep dive on it. Some people are thinking like it's a result, her face looks bloated from steroids, which is kind of icky to, you know, interrogate a woman's appearance. Some people are thinking that it's not Kate. Some people are trying to understand why Kate was in a, you know, car with her mother. Like, is there a marital dissolution taking place? But anyways, we have another photo that comes out. And it's shared by the British media. And it says that Kate and William were seen leaving a public event today. And it's very clearly meant to, again, squash the rumors, right? It comes out with a doctored photo, comes after this statement. And then people start looking at this photo. And they're like, there are so many elements of this photo that look doctored. Like there's this weird, you know, juxtaposition of brickwork that doesn't look consistent. People are starting to zoom in on Kate's very shadowy face. Some people are thinking that this is a photo that was also taken from the fall because it has a similar, there's so many similarities to a photo that was taken in the fall. Some people are thinking that it's not actually Kate in the car. And what I want to point out about this photo is that putting aside all the conspiracy theories, the decision for the royal family to release another photo, and this one that even in its best light isn't actually showing Kate's face, to me was another huge failure. They released a photo that was able to basically fuel every single conspiracy theory, right? Like, though, they're not looking at each other. Kate and William's faces are shrouded in darkness. You don't get a good look at her face. You don't know if she's actually okay. You don't even actually know if it's her. And so at this point, we have two questionable photos, one bizarre statement, and we still have no actual sight of Kate.
God, I mean, do you just want the royal family to hire us to do their PR?
I want the royal family to hire like four corgis in a trench coat because that would be better than what they have right now. Like,
totally.
I just
totally.
Like, That to me, and I think if you want, we can get into what the current like probable theories are. We can get into
Yes. All right. Tell me the current probable theories, please. Please.
So my first favorite theory, which is not probable, is that she is growing out bangs, which I just think is like,
Oh my God. That's my favorite. I don't need to hear the other ones. I don't. Well, because so you know what? You know what? Growing out bangs is hard.
It's awful.
So bad. I went through this phase in my 20s and early 30s where every time I watched a Reese Witherspoon romantic comedy where she had bangs, I was like, I should get bangs.
Oh, yeah.
And then I did it. And I'm not Reese Witherspoon. Okay. So terrible every time. And then I had to grow them out. So look, if Kate doesn't want pictures of her because she's growing out bangs, good on you, girl. Good on you.
Yeah, I'm proud of her for sticking it out and staying private.
Yeah.
So I'm in a group, like, there are so many theories. Like, people are arguing that that Prince Charles and Kate had like a kidney transfer. I mean, there are some really wild theories. I'm gonna talk about the two like buckets that are the most common and I think not entirely insane. So first bucket, medical. So people are basically saying either she went through a type of surgery that requires a much longer recovery process than we initially believed. And so basically she went through some sort of medical procedure. The recovery is taking a long time and the royal family has just really truly bungled this. That's one. And some people are saying this might be a cosmetic procedure. This might be like a totally routine procedure. This might be a procedure that has to do with a more serious medical ailment. Like, we really don't know. Number two is that there is a serious marital dispute happening. And I personally think that this theory has every bit as much validity as the medical one. Like, Prince William has canceled a number of public outings. I think that that's pretty unusual. I think that it's very interesting to me that whoever photoshopped that photo either intentionally or accidentally didn't include a wedding ring on Kate's hand. Like, that is interesting. And it's also very interesting to me that the photos we're seeing of them don't actually show them like looking at each other. And I bring this up because like there is a history here of the royal family working with, you know, the populist section of the British media to basically ease the public in and out of royal marriages. And so like, while that's not necessarily guaranteed to happen, I don't think that it's absolutely insane for people to be pointing out that all of these profiles are coming up of like William's alleged mistress at the same time that we're getting all this information about, you know, theories about Kate and William's marriage. Like, I think that, you know, there is a possibility that the royal family is doing some sort of very poorly handled attempt to soften the blow of some potential dissolution.
Wait, I haven't heard about Prince William's mistress.
Oh my God, Rose Hanbury.
I don't know anything about Rose Hanbury. I've been under a rock in Sicily.
OMFG. Okay. All right. I have to admit to you.
Oh, Rose Hanbury. This is why I need you.
Yeah, she is my Achilles heel because this is where, like, I want to just, like, put a little disclaimer flashing red. We don't know any of this for sure, but the little, you know, devil on my shoulder is like, whose fault is that? The royal family makes us question everything. So long story short is that Sarah Rose Hanbury she's married. She has children. She is someone that William dated for a period of time, you know, either in between dating Kate or Kate.
When they were on a break, like Ross and Rachel?
Yes, basically. Yes.
Okay.
Basically.
Yes.
Wait, what is the name of the character in Friends who Ross hooks up with? I'm trying to remember.
It's
the girl from the printer shop.
I don't think she had a name. She was just like the girl from the printer shop. Okay. But they were on a break.
Right. Rose Hanbury is essentially the British girl from the printer shop.
Okay, great.
Well, all you have to know is that for a while now, that has been a really common kind of like a common current beneath the Will and Kate saga, which is that there's something going on with Rose Hanbury. And there are all these little details that you can either elevate or totally dismiss. Like, William bought Rose a pearl necklace once. Like, William was seen with Rose Hanbury. William went to a wedding where Rose Hanbury was. Little things like that, which you can either decide to imbue with meaning or decide to say, that's ridiculous. But what I find to be really interesting is that every once in a while, the British media will release an article about Rose Hanbury.
And for all intents and purposes, she is not relevant, right? There's no reason to be sharing profiles of her. No reason beside to fuel an interest in her related to William. And so around the same exact time that we're getting the first doctored photo of Mother's Day, around the same time that the Kate statement comes out that is highly suspicious, we get two profiles from British media about Rose Hanbury. And so this sets people off. And this is where the soft launch theory comes in, where people basically are theorizing that Prince William is going to basically do what his dad did. There's going to be a divorce. He's going to get together with his mistress and they're going to be off to the races. Are you still breathing or has this just totally stopped you in your tracks?
I can't breathe. Okay. I'm laying on the floor now. I'm laying on the floor right now, like just staring at the ceiling. I mean, I really enjoyed The Crown, but you know what TV show I want?
What?
I want like a really good sitcom satire within the publicity office of the royal family.
Yes. I want an office style show of it.
I want The Office meets Spin City.
Mm-hmm.
For the royal family.
Or Veep. Veep would
or
be
Veep. Those three. Can we just pitch that to Hollywood right now? Should we just get my agents on the phone and be like, we're not royal experts at all, but we can find them. And we would like to pitch Spin City meets The Office meets Veep inside the publicity office of the royal family.
That is truly like finger on the pulse of culture type shit. And I genuinely think that someone, if not us, should pitch it.
Yeah, no. I mean, as soon as we get off, I'm going to pitch that because I need to figure out what I'm doing next.
So here's what I want to say about these theories. I want to pause and just say, so many of these theories might turn out to be proven to be like completely bonkers. So many of them are already totally bonkers. But what I think is a really important seed of truth at the base of all of this is that we are not talking about this situation isn't like, oh, something happened with Joe Biden and we're talking about Us Weekly. Like the first thing to remember is that, and you can speak to this maybe better than I can, is that so much of British media is more right wing than left wing, which I think is hard for people in America to understand because our media systems are so left wing. And so British media is so connected with the royal family. And so when you look at the things that British media publish, there is a long history of them actually working alongside the royal family to try to sway cultural opinion, to ease transitions, to help change opinions, to, I mean, there's so much, there's so many arguments that have been made about how this happened with Meghan Markle and Princess Diana, how the British media kind of worked to basically shift cultural opinion against them. And I would also add, as you can argue all day long that people are being, quote, Kate Middleton truthers, but the fact is that all this is happening with a family that has such a deranged history that it's hard not to be a truther about them. Like, there is such a long history of the way that this family uses women as tools and then discards them when they are no longer useful that I think that that is what's fueling a lot of this. So you have, like, these two irreconcilable things, and like some of them are totally bonkers and some of them are totally true. And it has just created this absolute shitstorm where what it was probably a totally routine situation has become absolutely fever pitch insane. But it's because of, I think, a few foundational truths. And so that's why I think this is so complicated.
It is. It's complicated, but it's also fascinating. It really is to me. And I have a lot of friends who were in the British media for a long time because there's a big, you know, kind of movement of people that are in British media, in the British tabloids, moving to America, especially when we launched all of our celebrity magazines. Right. So a lot of my friends that ran these celebrity magazines and that I worked with, Dan Wakeford is one of them. He was my boss at In Touch and Life and Style, and one of my best friends. He was the editor-in-chief of People magazine for a long time. He's not anymore, which is so annoying because I'm like, how do I get the Sicilian inheritance in People magazine, my friends? But I know a lot about how they operate. And right, two things that you said, they are very right-wing in so many cases. And also, they operate on a different level of celebrity coverage and a different level with the royals. And the amount of cooperation with the royal family coupled with, I mean, this is what is so gonzo bananas about it. They cooperate with the royal family, like we've said, but then they also go off the rails when they want to go against the royal family. I mean, right. And unlike in America, you still see these newspapers and magazines everywhere. We don't. I can't get a freaking New York Times or a Philadelphia Inquirer anywhere in my neighborhood. But you walk down the streets of London and you see these pictures and these headlines literally everywhere.
Right. Another thing that I would add that I think is really important here is that the main, like for all intents and purposes, a lot of this obsession, I personally think has, up until this point, been pretty harmless. Like, I think people latch onto things. We've talked about this. Like, you latch onto a cultural moment. It happens, it builds, and then you move past it. That's just how social media works at this point. But one thing that I think people have criticized is that you're not respecting a woman's privacy, which is technically true. But when Harry and Meghan were going through the shitstorm that they went through, not a single publication or member of the royal family was saying, please respect their privacy. And so there is a really, really uncomfortable juxtaposition taking place between the Black woman who is in the royal family and the white woman who is in the royal family. And a lot of people are arguing like, hey, you know, the exact women who are arguing to respect her privacy and to leave Kate Middleton alone? A lot of those women were probably the ones who were saying, we need to understand more about Meghan Markle's history. We need to understand more about what's going on here. She's suspicious. And so that is another really uncomfortable duality that's taking place here in terms of like recent history with the royal family.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I think it's such a difficult thing to parse because I have been of the mind for so long as someone who covers celebrities that you know what you're getting into when you choose this life. You're also paid so much stupid money compared to the average human being in the world.
Right.
That like you've set yourself up for this. Like you are going to be thrown under the bus, and that is part of doing this job. And also, you have so much power and influence that the media should be covering you. That everything you do does matter. It's so interesting to me that I've had a very visceral reaction to this situation with Kate. And I think it's because of the mom thing. And I'm just like, you're just a mom trying to make it in the world. And I know that's not true. But my feelings are all mixed up and weird about it.
Yeah, and I think they should be. I think that this is a situation where there isn't a conclusion here. And I think that's particularly true, obviously, because it's more likely than not that these conspiracy theories, none of them are going to come to fruition. But I also think that there are a lot of uncomfortable and competing truths in terms of what's taking place here, why we're uncomfortable with it, why it feels so complicated to parse. And I would also just add that something I've been thinking about is the last time you and I talked, we were talking about tradwives, right? To me, it does not feel accidental that we just went through a huge cultural obsession with tradwives. And now that obsession is kind of slowing down, or at least it's no longer at the fever pitch that it was. But now we're on to an obsession with Kate Middleton. And Kate Middleton has a lot of crossover with tradwives. Like, if you want to talk about a woman who is upholding the patriarchy, who is seen as the ultimate wife, the ultimate mother, always perfectly coif. Like, yeah, she's not doing domestic labor, but she represents the perfect wife. She's going to be, quote unquote, the perfect queen. And so it's almost like we've transferred our obsession with this certain type of woman onto this obsession with Kate. And I don't think that that's completely to explain for what's happening here. I think the royal family's PR failures, I believe, is at the root of this. But like, I've been thinking about that nonstop. Like, would we have been obsessed with this if we weren't prepped and primed from all the conversations we've been having about tradwives over the last few months?
Oh, we're going to have to do another episode on Kate Middleton, the original tradwife.
She is.
I can't stop thinking about it. And now that you said it, I'm going to think about it all day long today. All right, let's take one more quick break. And when we get back, we're going to talk about that for just a little bit. And then we're going to talk about where are we now and how do we feel about all of it? Under the Influence is brought to you by Quince. We have some new sponsors on this show, but it took us a while to get here because I'm only letting advertisers in when I genuinely like their products. And these guys are folks that I actually really, really love. I do. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items that are priced within reach. A lot of my girlfriends just discovered Quince. I only just discovered them when we started talking about working together, and I freaking love them. I love them. I've ordered so many things from them. I've gotten the Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50. I've gotten their yoga pants. I've gotten their joggers. I've gotten so many great pieces that are functional, but also beautiful, that look great, and people compliment me all the time. I packed a bunch of them for Sicily. It's easy luxury, and that's what I want in my life right now. I want easy luxury. I want easy luxury that is not insanely expensive. The best part is that all Quince items are priced about 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And by partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middlemen and then passes the savings on to you. I wear these yoga pants all the time. I wear them to yoga, and then I put on a Quince blazer, and I wear yoga pants with a blazer, and I look all professional and stuff. I do. So indulge in affordable luxury. Indulge in easy luxury. Go to quince.com/influence for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's a whole year. A whole year. It's Quince, Quince.com/influence to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/influence. Okay, one last brand that I love that I talk about all the time. You've heard me talk about these guys, Honeylove Shapewear. One of my girlfriends and I were getting ready together the other day, which is such a treat. I miss getting ready with my girlfriends. Like, remember that? When you would just get changed together and put your makeup on together? Anyway, we both took off our sweaters at the same time, and we were both wearing the same Honeylove bra. And then we had kind of a Honeylove moment. I love this shapewear. I love their bras. I love their shorts. It sucks you in where you want to be sucked in, but it's not too tight. It's not uncomfortable. It's never going to roll down. And my favorite thing about Honeylove is that it has a little area in the crotch. I hate that word. It's a gross word. But it has an area where you can pee without having to take off the shorts. And that just feels magical to me, because when I'm out and about, especially because I wear a lot of jumpsuits and onesies, I don't want to take off the whole onesie and then also take off the shapewear just to pee. I want to be able to wear the shapewear and pee at the same time. That is very, very important to me. I love Honeylove. Their best-selling superpower shorts are my go-to. They've got this targeted compression technology that like sucks you in where you want to be sucked in, but then like lets the rest of your body just kind of do its thing, which I really like because I love my body. I do. I wore the Honeylove bra and shorts in my author photos for Sicilian Inheritance, and now they're in these magazines all over the world. And I'm like, who's that? Who's that lady? She looks hot. She looks good. So treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/influence. Yes, once again, you can use our exclusive link to get 20% off honeylove.com/influence. And when you purchase, they're going to ask you where you heard about them. Support the show. Tell them we sent you. Treat yourself to Honeylove. You deserve it. Okay, we're back. Caro, you just blew my mind with Kate Middleton as the original trad wife. I think I'm going to have to post about that immediately as soon as we get off of this.
Get input.
Well, you know, I mean, the algorithm loves it when I talk about trad wives, hates it when I talk about my book. So I've got to do something. I've got to do something to get people to notice the Sicilian Inheritance.
Chase that tiger.
I chase the tiger. I chase the trad wife tiger all the time. So yes, I think that is true, because she's such a cipher, right? Like, we have no idea who she is in reality. She always feels like a prop for the royal family.
She does. And I would also add, like, You know, everyone has like a slightly different interpretation of a tradwife. And I have gone on the record saying that, like, to me, I think that more people fall into the tradwife category than less.
But one of the points that some people have made is that tradwives are founded in a lot of neo-Nazi propaganda.
Yes. And
there is like a very old, old cartoon that basically breaks down what a tradwife is. And part of it is that she's European. She is Aryan looking. Like, a lot of this is founded in some really uncomfortable stuff. And I'm not suggesting that Kate Middleton is a neo-Nazi. What I am suggesting is that the royal family is, for all intents and purposes, a vestigial body part of England, of an England that no longer exists. And one of their sole functions is to kind of like nurture the ongoing parasocial relationship between white people and the project of colonialism. Like, that is what, to me, the royal family represents. There is the royal family is the ultimate institution to represent what the British Empire was. And so it is not that big of a stretch to argue that a white woman who exists at the forefront of this family, which is struggling to maintain relevancy in a world that no longer is as interested in what the British Empire used to espouse, that a white woman who stands at the forefront of that kind of dying legacy does represent those values, whether she ever consciously consents to that or not.
Yes, yes, and yes. And there's so much to unpack there. We're going to have to do another episode, aren't we? We are. It's just a nice excuse to get to talk to each other some
it
more.
It really is.
So where are we at now? What is the latest? Where are we landing? What is the news today about this picture?
So where we're at now is that millions of people across the world have set a timer for Easter Sunday, because that is the earliest date that we could potentially expect to see Kate.
It's like Kate is Jesus right now.
Yes. She's okay. Going to rise again. She's going to rise again.
She's going to rise again.
Oh my God, it's honestly too much. Yeah, so basically people are saying, like, it's very unlikely that we're going to see her before then. If we don't see her in the weeks or days after Easter Sunday, I think that this is going to reach a level of intensity that first and foremost is going to dominate our headlines. But secondly, and I think most importantly, it's going to reach a level of intensity that has been proven to be too much for the royal family. If they release one more quote unquote statement from her, if they release one more photo that even has a whiff of being edited, we are going to reach a new phase of problematic with this whole situation. So my hope for them, like, if the intern in the PR office, which is clearly just made up entirely of interns.
All interns all the time.
Yeah. If like all the corgis and trench coats at the royal family's PR office are listening to this, then I would say, the best thing you can do is just shove her in front of a window, take a video from relatively far away, show her waving with her kids. If everything is fine, that is the least you can do. If that does not happen, then we are going to see renewed scrutiny on a lot of uncomfortable allegations about their marriage and about her health.
Again, I would just like the royal family to hire us.
I know.
Like, we could help them. There are things they could do to fix this. And I say that not as necessarily a crisis PR expert, but as I am an expert in celebrity journalism and in how the news gets manipulated by celebrities. And so frankly, yes, I am an expert in crisis PR. And yeah, they should hire us. This deadline of Easter, this is just so, again, Kate is Jesus Christ right now. They're going to resurrect her from the ashes, unless this really is the end of her marriage to William.
Yeah. And, you know, it's so funny because I don't know her. And I always want to make that like an essential distinction when I'm talking about public figures or brands, of which I think she is both. Like, I think the royal
family. She's both. Well, I think that's an important thing for us to say.
Right.
The royal family is a brand. The royal family is the ballerina farm of the UK. They are a brand. They are a brand more than anything else. And they're a very successful brand for the UK because the UK's tourism fucking depends on the royal family.
Right.
People visit from all over the world to see those palaces. Okay? They do. And that is just the truth. At the end of the day, a lot of this is about money and propping up the royal family, because without that, what does the UK have? They have, you know, they have history, they have Parliament, they have Big Ben, but people go there to see royal shit. They do.
Yeah, and I think something I would add that I think you know all too well is that I think a lot of people in America, because of the way that we engage with celebrities, would say, look, they're doing this, all press is good press. But I think there's a really important distinction to make, which is that the royal family do not function like the Kardashians. And so the way, like, people reference them as the firm, that is how intense they are about their public appearance. And we saw so much of that with Prince Harry and Meghan Markle, right? Like, they were not in control of the narrative. And so what they did was try to control the narrative. And that led to, like, a pretty horrifying series of events to witness in terms of how Meghan Markle was treated, in terms of the public dissolution between Harry and his family. Like, there was a lot of stuff that I think indicated that the royal family has really only one strategy when it comes to PR, and it's about maintaining a really impeccable appearance. And so another thing that I think about with this point is that we're at such an inflection point with the royal family. And what's so interesting to me is that this family has managed to overcome so many huge things, like their legacy of really, really horrible things, their legacy of racism and sexism and all of the drama of Princess Diana and Prince Andrew. Like, they have managed to stay somewhat solidified, even as Harry and Meghan disappeared or, like, left the family. And so it's so ironic to me that one of the things that could potentially be the camel that breaks, or the, LOL, the straw that breaks the camel's back is technology, is this new social media world, because the strategies that they've used for so long just don't fly in the social media world. Like, when you have the army of Swifties breaking down these photos, you cannot rely on all of your old strategies. And so either the royal family is going to fall apart kind of rapidly with this brave new world, or they're going to have to adapt their strategy. And so maybe they do lean into the all press is good press thing. That will require a different type of PR rep, I think. But something has to give, because all of their strategies are archaic and just not substantial enough in the face of this world where an 8-year-old can spot an AI image. Like, it just doesn't work anymore.
Yes. If they leaned into the all press is good press, they need to hire the publicist that the Kardashians had.
Yes.
In the early days of the Kardashians, where I would call them and be like, is this crazy ass thing true? And they're like, I don't care. Print whatever you want. We want attention.
Yeah, it's so true. You need to have someone who teaches them how to roll with that, because as of now, the all press is good press thing doesn't work if the PR agent for the royal family isn't also in on the joke. What we're getting is almost this, like, this generational clash between people who are deploying old world maneuvers in the new world. And
oh,
I think the
things
that creates this, like, cognitive dissonance, uncanny valley feeling when you're watching this unfold in real time, because a person looks at this on Twitter and they're like, they can't possibly be doing this, right? Like, that's so dumb. They couldn't possibly be doing this. And they are. And that is a bigger problem than whatever's going on with Kate Middleton. Like, the way that they have behaved is the real problem here. And it is going to be a bigger and bigger problem as time wears on if they don't make adjustments.
You're right. A couple corgis with Instagram, with Photoshop, ooh, would do a better job than the current press office. My continuing thing that I do, again, I feel so uncomfortable about this, because I'm like, whatever, Kate knew what she was signing up for. Like, she knew what she was doing. And I still feel uncomfortable that we're just, you know, that a woman, a mother, is constantly being used as a scapegoat in this royal family. And yet, yeah, and yet, and yet, there's, like, all of the things can be true at once. And we can feel all of the feelings. And, I mean, also, these conspiracy theories are just partially a nice distraction from the fact that the rest of the world is falling apart.
Yeah, I think that's totally true. I think that whenever you have a social, like, I felt this way about Tradwives as too, where it's like, at any given point, of course, it also has to do with the way that we communicate now. Like, I believe very strongly that, you know, the media is the message a lot of the time. Like, the way that we communicate changes depending on the media forms we use. So everything is heightened now that we communicate on social media. Everything can become bigger than it was before. And I would also say, like, I think that there is a really big discomfort with the fact that we are, you know, speculating on a woman's health. We are speculating on the really, really like personal aspects of her marriage. But at the same time, we are speculating on a woman who exists in an institution that parades women out to smile and take a photo before the umbilical cord has even been cut on their baby. Like, we are looking at an institution that cares so much less about the well-being of the women within that institution than we could possibly ever compete with. And so that, to me, is like the driving force of this, which is that, yes, people are being technically invasive with Kate Middleton, but they're doing it because the royal family was invasive with her first. Like, they are releasing false statements and attributing them to her. They are releasing doctored images. They are also using her when it suits them. Like, if it suits them to have her show a baby, then they don't care about her personal life.
No.
They use her as it works with them. And if she were ever to become invaluable, as Meghan Markle and Princess Diana would, then I think you would see a shift with how the royal family treats her too. And that, to me, is like the saddest part of all of this, is how the royal family treats their own.
We're going to end on that. And we're going to come back right before Easter, right before she is risen, she will rise again.
She will rise again.
I will rise again.
Kate Middleton. I will follow that new cult.
I will follow that cult, man. Totally. You'll come back and we'll do all the developments, all the things.
Yes, for sure.
Good. Tell everyone where they can find you. I follow you, and you are my commentary guru right now on the TikToks. And you know that I fucking hate the TikToks, and I go on TikTok just for you, girl.
Wow, that means a lot. I've had some friends tell me that, and I'm like, look, I know what that means. I have been so afraid of TikTok, so it means a lot if you're going on to that hellscape for me. Yeah, you can find me on TikTok, Caro Claire Burke with 3 E's. I'm still trying to reach the person with the original handle. I work for KCM, so you'll see some of my articles there. And I'm on Instagram too.
I love KCM, Katie Cork Media.
Yeah,
yeah.
Can use the bomb.
Katie brings me so much joy. She does. She always has. Always has. Yeah.
She's great.
She's great. All right. Bye, guys. Developing story. Developing story here.
Stay tuned.
Remember the Thai cave rescue? What about the mission depicted in Black Hawk Down or the epic rescue shown in Captain Phillips? You've probably heard of all of these, but did you know that the U.S. Air Force Special Warfare played a pivotal role in all of them? These airmen are the most highly trained warriors on the planet. Other forces like the SEALs and Army Rangers call on them to provide skills no one else can. Not many people make the cut. If you think you can, visit airforce.com to learn more.
Are you ready to shop? Rakuten's Big Give Week is back. Get 15% cash back at hundreds of stores, including Headliners, Adidas, Elf Cosmetics, and Lego. Rakuten is how in-the-know shoppers get the best savings. They shop the brands they love and earn cash back on top of deals. During Big Give Week, May 6th to May 13th, the cash back rates are even bigger. You can save on everything you need for summer, like clothing, outdoor gear, and travel. Join today for free and get an extra 10% cash back boost. That's an extra 10% cash back on top of Big Give Week's 15% cash back. You won't see higher cash back rates than these. Go to Rakuten.com or download the Rakuten app. Rakuten. Shoppers get it.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at Capella.edu.